Hey guys, Ed here. Welcome to our call today. Just going to wait another minute for a few other folks to join us. And while we're doing that, love to know, just for fun, are you taking some time off during the holidays? Are you doing anything fun? Let me know in the chat area. Just go to chat, type it in, and let's see who's here. Hey, Francis, been a while. Good to see you here. And Joanne, welcome. Welcome, Christy. First call for Christy. Paul, good to see you here. Matt, welcome. First call as well. Awesome. Great to have you in the group. And I see an email, but I can't tell who that is. And also another random caller. Can't really tell. All right, let's see what we got. Yeah, welcome, Paul. Yeah, great to have you here as well. I tell you, we usually take off between Christmas and New Year's, and past few years we've been going to the beach, which is hit or miss weather-wise. This year we decided to do something a little different. So, but we couldn't find anything between Christmas and New Year's, so we're actually taking a little bit of time off after New Year's Day. So it'll be kind of cool in a way to be here and just have a little bit of downtime after Christmas. So usually we rush out of here. All right, let's do this. Let's start off with some wins. And here's what I'd like you to do. If you go to the chat area, Paul says every day is a day off. I want it to be semi-retired. Ah, there you go. If you go to the chat area, do me a favor, type in a capital W, and I'd like for you to share a win that you've had over the past couple of weeks. Now, let me just be clear, and for those of you who are here for the first time, when I say win, I'm not necessarily talking about landing a client. A win could be anything, big or small. It could be just the fact that maybe you got a breakthrough, or you're moving along consistently through the program materials. You finally figured out your positioning. You know, kind of good enough positioning for now, your starter positioning. You've created your list of starter prospects. Anything like that that makes you feel like, you know what, I'm making progress, I'm moving in the right direction, that is definitely a win. So do me a favor, go to the chat area, type in capital W right now, and share a win with us. So let's start these calls always on a positive note. Let's see, we've got a couple here. Paul says, got two positive replies to my warm emails this morning. Fantastic. Man. That's great. Going into the call, love that. Chris says, I figured out my starting positioning. Excellent. That's a big obstacle for a lot of folks. So the fact that, you know, once you get that, it's such a relief, especially if you spend a lot of time on it and agonizing over it like many of us do. All right. Who else wins? I'll share a win with you guys from the past couple of weeks. So I'm doing something that I haven't done before, and I'm really, really excited about it for next year. So I kind of go through a planning process this time of year, and it's kind of like a debriefing, recapping the year. And one of the things that I'm trying is I am actually planning out my year. Doesn't sound like much, but honestly, just planning out what I like to call the big rocks. So the important events, important things, planning and blocking time out for trips and time off. I haven't done that in years. And even when I've done it, it's been like, okay, I guess, yeah, we'll take a trip in the summer, or maybe sometime in July, but it's not until March that we maybe start planning dates and so forth. This time I'm blocking out a lot of things. And what it's forcing me to do, it's forcing me to think about those things, to start planning, and to make sure those things get done. So I'm not scheduling things during those days. So anyway, I'm really excited about it because I feel like it's going to make a big, big difference in my life this year in terms of balance and making sure that that I focus and spend time and energy on the things that matter. Let's see what we got. Matt says, I got my first client that may be an ongoing client and created three samples. What? Dude, go Matt. Yeah, totally. That's, man, you just started. That's fantastic. And congratulations. That's fantastic. All right, let's see. Hey, Madalena joined us. Hey, good to see you. It's been a while, Madalena. Susan, good to see you as always. All right, so let's one more question before we get to Q&A. Let's get into implementation. So one thing that I'm always curious about is just everyone's kind of working in a different place in the program right now, implementing something different. I'm curious what exactly you are focused on right now as it relates to the program. So type in capital I for implementation and let me know what your focus is right now. Are you working on your positioning? Are you working on your website copy? Are you working on getting your website live? Are you working on prospecting? Are you working on just kind of going back and forth with a potential client? What are you focused on right now this week? Atlanta says prospecting and following up with leads. Excellent. Yeah, fall is the busiest time. It is for me as well. September through December is just usually absolutely nuts. Great to hear though, and great to have you back. All right, what are you working on right now? Chrissy says I just finished positioning. I'll be working on the copy starter step two. Perfect. One quick tip, Christy, is you'll see I'm really big into just always being clear on your next step, not just in terms of what to do, but in terms of when to do it. So make sure to set up a date with yourself, you know, like put it in your calendar. Okay, so I got this done. I'm going to go through the training on this day at this time. And I suggest blocking it in your calendar, like as if it were a doctor's appointment. Okay, something you would not blow off. And then once you're done going through that training, then block out time in your calendar for actually doing the work that you just learned about. Okay. So that will make sure that you have that momentum and you can keep going from one task to the next. Okay. Let's see. Paul, prospecting. Paul's working on prospecting. I also need to follow up with leads. Holidays aren't the best time to get work. You know what? Actually, Paul, many of my coaching clients have actually found the opposite, and I have as well. It's counterintuitive, but this is actually a great time to prospect for clients. And I have a theory as to why response rates can be better. So anecdotally, I've gotten a lot of feedback from coaching clients and some of my different groups that they're getting better results. And in the past, have gotten really good results between Christmas and New Year's. Now, I'm not saying you need to forget about your trip or, you know, if you're thinking about taking time off that you put that off. But if you were planning on doing a little bit of work between Christmas and New Year's, I had a coaching client 2 years ago who got triple her results with warm email prospecting that week. My theory is that prospects are, first of all, they're kind of in a good mood. They're in a festive mood, generally speaking. Number two, inboxes are not as crowded as they normally are. And number three, it's a human tendency to want to, when it's somebody approaches you, like if you approach a prospect with the opportunity to maybe work with you, if they have something they could potentially need help with, people are in a better place right now to say yes, we need to engage, but then defer the actual conversation or work to January. So in other words, it's an easier yes, because they don't need to commit to anything right now. It's kind of like, you know what? We do need to look at a few things. Yes, let's engage in January. And it's an easy thing to just kind of punt till next January. Now, of course, then that's where the follow-up comes in, and sometimes that can be challenging. But just initiating that dialogue, I have found, and many of my coaching clients have found, that the holidays can be a great time to do that. So if anyone here was planning on stopping, not because they were taking time off, but because they thought, well, this is a useless time to do that, I suggest you test it. And if you're going to be around, give it a whirl and see what you get. And if you do, do me a favor, keep some basic records. I'd love to hear from you as to how it worked, how the effort worked for you. Okay, Susan's working on prospecting and planning which live network events I'll be attending. Excellent. And Chrissy's working on this every Monday. Awesome. Great to see that. Matt working on tweaking my positioning in first week module. Step one, I have to target
I have my target market based on my work background, but figuring out how to angle that. And happy to help you with that, by the way, Matt. Jennifer is working on prospecting, and Madalena said, yeah, I had this happen twice this week, once in January, meaning, yeah, you reach out to prospects and they're happy to respond positively and then to engage in January. Now, here's the cool thing about that is, in case you guys miss the big benefit there, once somebody says, yeah, let's re-engage first week of January, you have an excuse, you have justification to not follow up, as opposed to, yeah, I'm going to keep your information on file, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But now you have something specific. So it gives you something a little bit more tangible to follow up with in January. Paul says, good or less good, I'll be keeping my marketing as I do every business day. Excellent. Yeah, Susan says, coming from a military life, this use or lose time for funds as well. Yeah, that's another thing. And if you're already working with a client or clients, it's very common. I've had this happen to me several times where clients are trying to get rid of some budget that they have left over. And I'll tell you an extreme case that happened to a coaching client. Actually, she's not a coaching client. She's a colleague of mine. 2 years ago, she said, you're not going to believe this. She started getting into this habit of reaching out to her clients around every November or December to see if she could help them with anything or get something out of the books. So get the budget out, off the books. That they're trying to spend. And the most extreme case I heard was she did this with a client. They said, actually, yeah, we do need to get rid of this budget. They didn't just waste it. They said, well, we've been talking about getting these things done, so let's go ahead and award them to you. It was $29,000 worth of work. Now, here's the kicker. They went ahead and also paid her by the end of the year. So she was able to close $29,000 worth of work that she didn't have to worry about until January, and she got the money up front, which I think is just fabulous. Now, that doesn't happen every day, but it's just an example of what can happen when once you get going and you approach clients. If you make a note for yourself around every November to develop a little plan to start reaching out to clients in early December about that or late November. And Francis is saying, look at my long list of potential clients and prepare to email some of them next week, the week before Christmas. Excellent. Good stuff, guys. All right, so let's get to Q&A. And the way we do this is if you have a question or you need some feedback or you want to discuss anything, just go to the chat area, type in capital Q, and just type in just kind of the gist of your question. Let me know what you have. Just make sure to keep your question focused and specific. So don't give me something like, how do I get clients? That's too broad. Give me something specific so that we can work on something tangible and I can give you something valuable. One question per person. I can always come back to you. We usually have time to do a second round, almost always. So, but I just want to make sure to give everyone a chance. By the way, if for some reason, and I typically unmute people who have questions so we can have some dialogue, but if you're somewhere that's really noisy or you don't want me to unmute you, just also let me know, next year question. While I'm waiting for questions, there were a couple of questions that were pre-submitted, and you can always do that, by the way, guys. Just a reminder, every call that we have has its own page, and on that page, there's a field where you can just enter your name and your question, and I will go ahead and answer those live in the call. So now, this is only helpful if you're not going to be in the call. You know you're not going to be there, but you want me to address something, then go ahead and do that. That way, you know, you can listen to the replay later and get my answer. Christy asked a pre-submitted question from a couple of days ago. How many years of experience qualify you as seasoned? Great question, Christy. I don't know if there's a standard answer to that because it's really a very subjective term. But I would say, I mean, in my mind, it depends. I would say if you've been at this for over 3 years, working with clients, on a variety of projects or really heavily on one or two types of projects, then I would say that that's starting to get into that area in my eyes. Somebody else might think of it differently. Worst case scenario, 5+ years. But 3 years, if you've been really, really busy. So those 3 years, you've worked with a lot of clients. 5 years, if maybe it hasn't, if it's been more of a part-time venture. But you know, you ask, anybody who asks will give you a different answer. Of course, you're not here. I don't know if you're here, Christy. Or yeah, you are here. So, Christy, if you want to explore that a little further, or if maybe you had a reason specifically why you were asking, let me know. So, because I'm not sure if I answered it based on your reasoning, or your reason for asking. John asks, how prominent in your LinkedIn profile does the word copywriter need to be to stand out for search purposes? And is there a way to research potential keywords for a niche in LinkedIn? Yeah, great question. How prominent? I would say that, you know, as close to the beginning as possible. But more than just copywriter, I would also include keywords for your target audience. So if, for instance, you work with medical device companies, make sure to say copywriter. I would actually add the word writer as well. Because many clients aren't using the word copywriter. They're using writer and copywriter interchangeably sometimes, so you want to hit writer as well. So in that example, it would be copywriter and writer for the medical device companies, something along those lines. And, of course, you can add some other words like healthcare, healthcare technology, if those are applicable as well. But, yeah, I would think, the cool thing about a headline for LinkedIn is typically you would want that word early on anyway in order for the headline to make sense. In terms of how to research potential keywords for your target market, I like to just, first of all, put myself in my prospect's shoes and ask myself, if I were looking for somebody, what words would I use? Forget about everything I know, you know, from my side. Put myself in their shoes, what would I type up? And I think that example I just gave you was fairly accurate. If I were a marketing director at a medical device company and I was looking for a writer, I might say writer medical devices, or medical devices writer or copywriter, something like that. And then so that would be one thing, is just brainstorm what you might search for. And then the other thing would be to test it out. So go to LinkedIn and see what comes up. It's counterintuitive, but you want to make sure that the keyword you're using is turning up some results. Now, your results are going to be based on many different factors, and what comes up for you is going to be different than what comes up for Susie, okay? Because it's also dependent on who you're connected to. So just keep that in mind. But assuming you have, you know, more than 100 or 200 connections on LinkedIn, I think that might be enough to give you an idea of how that's working. So going back to what's counterintuitive, you want to make sure that the search you use turns up some results, because that's telling you that this is what you're using. It's actually turning up real people, real results, which was what you would want a client to experience, a potential client, if that makes sense. If it's not turning anybody, then I would be worried, because it's telling me that maybe that's not the way your clients are searching for you. So don't be afraid if it turns up a lot of different people, meaning like your competitors. That's totally fine. I wouldn't worry about that. You are going to have competitors. So, you know, don't stress out over that. One other keyword that I might add, by the way, John, is your location. Location has become less and less important for clients over the last decade. Clients are just used to working with freelancers from really all over the place. The location is not as important. However, for some clients, the natural inclination, even if they end up hiring someone from out of state, is to sometimes search for location as well. So medical device copywriter Atlanta. Okay. So it can't hurt is what I'm saying, for those who maybe are thinking along those lines. Okay. So great questions. Let's go to the chat area. Again, if you have a question, just type in capital Q in front of it so I can identify it. Madalena has a question here. Hi, Ed. Question about a lead that punted to January. This is a potentially great client, but I would like your advice on how to approach this one. I have a background info that will help to explain. Perfect. Yeah, let me bring you in. All right, you're on. How are you, Madalena?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I have a bit of a cold, so I'll try not to sneeze into your ear.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, it's just that time of year, you know. I'm a translator as well, so this is a super busy time, and there's a lot of overlap, sort of like what you were saying about people wanting to spend their budget by the end of the year. So it's just been kind of swamped. But as you know, I'm, you know, also trying to work on having a branch of my business that is health and wellness copywriting. So I've been prospecting, but because I'm a translator, I don't have a lot of copy samples. There have been two leads that have been pretty solid, both asking, well, one of them asked me to follow up with them after the holidays. Totally makes sense. People are swamped at this time. And then the other one, I'm thinking of suggesting following up with her after the holidays. And the reason for that is that, this client would be, I would think, an ongoing, maybe retainer type client. She has one of those subscription-based model businesses where teaching Pilates online to her membership, and she launches it, you know, a few times a year, and then she closes membership. So she gets a good number of people signing up like twice a year. And I've had the subscription myself for nearly 3 years now, and I've watched her business just like take off. And so I thought of her as somebody who would need potential copy. They write a lot of blog posts, a lot of email to their email list. They write a lot of emails and things like that, a lot of promotional stuff around the time of their launches. And so I approached her a few weeks ago, and she got back to me yesterday saying that, yes, they definitely are interested in 2019 in starting to work with a professional copywriter, and it's great to know that it could potentially be somebody who already knows what they do well and their audience well, because I am basically her audience. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to see some samples. And so, as you know, we've talked about this a couple times before. I don't have samples, you know, on something that would really pertain to her. But my thought was, and this is where my question is to you, would it make sense for me to say, sure, I'd love to talk to you about this more. Why don't I prepare some samples that are specific to your business? Is that something that people do?
So offer to write some samples on spec, basically, just to showcase your capabilities?
Yeah, but really related to her business. Because if I don't have any to show in the first place, and that's the first thing she's asked me for, I feel like coming back and saying, yeah, I don't have any. It's kind of not productive. But if I, given the fact that it's, you know, 12 days before Christmas now, and she's a little slow to respond anyway. She just had a set of twins. I think that it's possible for me to write something solid for her that, cause I already follow, I've been following her for nearly 3 years now. But what's your take on that?
Alright, so I think something along those lines is worth trying. And I think what I suggest is you think about maybe the best way of doing it, because you're really gonna have one shot.
Exactly.
I mean, she may give you a second opportunity, but you're really gonna have to one shot in terms of what you offer.
Right.
To her. And, I don't know if you've heard me talk about this before, but the way around that is, it's like, by the way, can you see
yes.
this?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this. It's a three-step approach. The first is always be honest. So I don't have that. I don't have what you're asking for. Here's what I do have.
Uh-huh.
And here's the bridge. So meaning, here's why that would be, you know, you want this, I have this, this is the bridge. This is how they're related. So in your case, there's a couple things you could do. You could say, well, look, here's the thing. I've been in this business for a while, but I've been on this side of the business. I'm an excellent copywriter. And here's what I do have. I've been in your audience, and examine what you've been doing for years.
Right.
Right. Of course, you could come up with something better than that in terms of how you say.
Yeah. Sure.
Right? I've been in your tribe. I know your stuff.
That's what she calls it. Yep.
Yeah. So this is why, you know, this is what you want. So the want, here's what I have. And here's how they're tied together and why I think I would be a great candidate. Now, there's really kind of a number four, lower the risk with a pilot. So here's what you ask for. You say, look, give me a shot, with one project. I will not disappoint you. I totally get that, you know, you're taking a chance on an unknown. I don't have exactly what you just asked for, but I'm so confident, that you would be impressed that, I'm willing to just give me a shot with one project.
Yep. Yeah, that was my thought in the beginning to do that because I know that I can write something for her that really works for what they do. I mean, I've been following it long enough that I kind of know what she's going to write in the next email. You know what I mean? So, so my other part of this question is how much of a writing sample do you give? Because she asked for, marketing and sales copy.
Mm-hmm.
Related to health and wellness, of course. That's what she does. But, is it too much to offer, a sample blog post and email, or is that something, or is there another?
Well, she's asked you for copy.
Yeah.
For sales copy.
Yeah, she wanted a sample of sales/marketing copy.
Oh, okay. So in that case, it's kind of open. I think that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, do you have a few things, right? You just don't have a lot.
Yeah.
Send her what you think. I would pick two. I think two is a good number that you feel are impressive and showcase your writing ability.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I think it's fine. So this is part of the what you do have. You know, this is the – so you have a couple of things. You have samples. So send her two samples you actually – have, and then
but they're not related to anything to do with like fitness.
That's fine. It's okay. It's you're just trying to keep in mind many times a samples thing is just a, you know, I got to check that off in terms of due diligence.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is really, this I think is the biggest selling point. In this.
Right.
You know, don't underestimate the power of coming to somebody with that kind of confidence. You have nothing to lose. I want you to remember that. Like if they were somebody and I've been in their tribe for years and I, same situation. I would tell myself, you know, I got nothing to lose. And I am confident. I know I could do a great job. And I would just put it out there. I might be scared to death inside. But that is, it's crazy how, and you've seen this before. I'm sure this has happened to you in your personal life. You go out, you just go out on a limb.
Yeah, and it works out usually. Yeah.
And it works out. So it's the same thing here. You're going to kick yourself if you don't try it, if you don't do your best and just showing your enthusiasm. I don't know if you've seen I've shared this article a few times in the Facebook group, the samples that I had.
Yeah.
You know, when I started out, they were horrible. I know I showed them to several people, but the one that really sticks out for me, and this is early 2004, I still remember, it was vice president of marketing in a software company. I showed up with my little samples printed out in a little folder. I got it off Office Depot and they were embarrassing. But he did ask me for, you know, so I, what do you have there? And, well, I printed out some, you know, I took some copy from my website and I put it on a letterhead and just described it was my homepage copy essentially. And then the others were like three samples.
Uh-huh.
And they had nothing to do with software. One was for an author of a quilting book. The other one was for an advertising company. And the other one was for a friend of mine who had a training company, meaning she was the trainer. She was an independent contractor. And he just looked at him, and I thought for sure he's going to kick me out of his office. And he just, very dry guy, he just said, okay, well, looks good. Here's what I need done. We need to get started with this brochure. And I couldn't believe it. And he just gave me a shot. You're not looking for someone who needs to have all the boxes checked. Okay.
Yeah.
You're looking for one who, you know, based on the timing, based on their need, based on what they see in you, based on the, you know, what you offer them and your confidence, is willing to give you a shot. That is all. Here's the thing. There's a dance going on in this hall, and you're here. And all you need is a ticket to the dance. You need this door right here to open. Once you're in the dance, once they give you a shot, this whole world opens up to you.
Right.
Right here. And now you're in the dance, and now you have a chance to dance with, you know, with a few other people.
Okay. As far as the pilot goes, what would you suggest is a reasonable amount of copy to offer somebody as a pilot?
Ask them.
Okay.
Ask them. Don't get into specific. Just say, give me a shot with a small project where you're not risking a lot, and it will give me an opportunity to show what I can do.
Okay.
And let them pick. You know, don't.
So I should just go ahead and get back to her. I mean, I'm going to get back to her now anyway, but I should get back to her now and ask her to give me something as a pilot that I could just send to her early January. Is that reasonable? I feel like she's not going to look at this before the end of the year if it took her that long to answer my email.
All right. Well, just to be clear, so you're gonna get back to her with the, you know, I don't have
1, 2, and 3. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have this. Here's what I do have. So you're gonna send her the samples.
Yeah.
Here's why. And then, exactly. And wait. And if it's like, I don't know, or no response, when you follow up, eventually you get a response, and it's the, you know, if it's a negative, or we're looking for someone more experienced. I might be tempted to, here's the problem. You don't want them to make this decision behind closed doors and not take this into account.
Yeah, no, I was going to go ahead and offer number 4 anyway.
Okay, perfect.
Because, you know, this is not a job position she's advertised. I've seen her advertise positions in the past, but she came back to me and said, yes, we're actually thinking about doing this in 2019. So I feel like.
By the way, do you mind telling me her name? Because I wonder, this is a small kind of community. I wonder if I know her name.
You might. Robin Long?
No, it doesn't ring a bell. Okay. Just in case.
Yeah.
One thing you should know about people like that is a lot of them, they want a professional copywriter.
Right.
But they don't want, you know, they don't want to pay this.
I know. I wondered about that too, but honestly.
They think they do. They think they want that thing, but then when they see the dollars.
Yeah.
So this might be an opportunity where you can come in with this. You know, you're not, it's not this. It's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
It could be a heck of a deal, especially once they start talking with some more established people.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. And it's something that could essentially be a monthly, like a retainer.
Absolutely.
At client, because she's constantly needing to produce copy. Okay.
Perfect.
Thanks, Ed.
Well, keep us posted. Good
sure.
luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good stuff, guys. Yeah, this is something you're going to encounter. This 4-step approach it works really, really well. So don't be afraid. I see too many writers just kind of back away. Well, they asked me for this and I don't have it, so I guess there goes that. No. You know, I don't have X. Here's what I do have. Here's the bridge. Now, the what I do have part, remember, it doesn't necessarily have to be samples. Oh, you're looking for a sample of a white paper. I don't never written a white paper. But here's what I do have. Sometimes it could be, well, I got this long form article. But then the other thing could be, but here's what I bring to the table beyond just the writing chops. I bring, you know, I got 13 years experience in K-12 education, you know, or whatever. So make sure to highlight that as well. And then here's the bridge. Give me a shot. one project, low key. Let me show you what I can do. And then, and here again, this is all about just doing your best. You might be scared inside, but show confidence. You got, and to help, remind yourself that you got nothing to lose. All right. Good stuff. Paul has a question here. I've been looking at HubSpot's free CRM. Is it any good? Does it have any advantages over Outlook and Excel? Okay, that you're using now. Let me bring you in, Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Ed.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, HubSpot, yes. I don't use it, but I got several coaching clients who love it. And just like with anything, it's going to have a bit of a learning curve. But if you're already used to using a contact management system, I don't think you're going to have any trouble.
I'm not sure I am used to doing that. I'm using Word and Excel right now. All my client databases in Excel.
And gotcha. Okay.
So,
have you used a CRM before?
No.
Okay. I mean, I would give it a shot. You got nothing to lose, right? Because it's free. And really, it's just a little bit of time investment.
Yeah.
But it's going to make things easier. Once you get enough contacts in Excel that you're tracking, once you do enough email prospecting, and now you got to do the follow-up tracking, Excel becomes a little crazy.
It's clumsy for sure.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with that this morning.
So there's a little bit of time investment in terms of that, you know, that learning curve and getting your data in there. But, you know, one way I might try it is just get a few in there, maybe the next few prospects you go after, and then schedule your follow-ups in there, and then just see how that works out. And that way, if it's not going to work for you, you've only entered, let's say, 10 contacts or whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was considering, was doing like a little pilot, see what how well it works with that. I can extract something with a comma file and upload it to their tool.
Yeah, Jennifer just typed in a comment. She reminded me that she just signed up for it too. She said, I haven't even started to use it, but I love the fact that it notifies me when people open the emails I send, and it integrates with Gmail, which is something I forgot. Yeah, so it does make life easier from a, you know, when you're doing warm mail prospecting.
Well, now I have that capability with Outlook as well. In fact, I can have it let me know when they receive it and when they open it.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah.
I have been using that when I remembered to check the box. You have to go into the options to do it. Outlook also has a delay send feature as well, which is very handy.
That is very handy. If you're sending emails out at night, right?
Right, yeah. Well, like I can do Tuesday's emails on Monday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Tuesday. I can set up time zone hopping and all kinds of stuff with it. It can be pretty handy.
Well, I mean, I would give it a whirl. It's worth using, and I don't think it's necessarily any harder to use than some of the other ones where you're paying $20 or $30 a month.
Yeah.
Of course, there's hundreds of them, so everyone has a different opinion. Some people say, no, I found Contactually, which is another popular one. I found that to be easier. Okay, yeah. So, you know, they have, I think, a free trial as well, but they're like $25, $30 a month, which, you know, you're running a business, so, but you also have to be mindful of expenses too. If it's worth it, go for it. But I think it's when it's free, it just makes it one of those things that you really should try first, you know?
I think I will look into it further then.
Jennifer just said that HubSpot has a delay feature too, and she thinks it integrates with Outlook, so you can use both.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's see, Christy has a question here. I was wondering if I could say seasoned project manager based on my 13 years of freelance experience, but that's not copywriting experience. Yeah, let me bring you in, Miss Christy.
Yes.
Hey,
hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Welcome.
Thank you.
Cool. So you are a project manager. That's what you do today?
I commented on Facebook to you earlier about this. I didn't even realize I have B2B experience. My husband actually pointed it out. I did 8 years as a merchandiser, which is basically a vendor where you go into the different businesses.
Uh-huh.
And you do different products and stuff like that. I actually worked with like 7 different clients, and we had all kinds of different accounts, and I was in all the retailers you could probably think of. So basically I was representing the businesses and the accounts that we had as I went into these other businesses.
Okay. And you're helping them what, with assortments and stock and inventory and promotions?
Oh, it was everything. It was anything from a one-time project where I would do a complete reset on a section. I know one off the top of my head was we did the spice section in grocery stores. We reset the entire section. Others were where I would go in twice a week, once a month, twice a month, quarterly. It would just depend on what the project was. And I worked with, you know, books, movies, everything.
Oh, cool.
But I represented the account that I had. That was who I was there under. And like I said, I was with 7 different clients at the time. So it was multiple projects and it was all a whole bunch of different frequencies as far as visits and time frames that I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 5 years, I've actually been working with a medical billing company. So we've been doing medical billing for, chiropractic offices.
Mm-hmm.
So we each are assigned accounts. And we're in charge of those accounts. I've actually been the office manager for the business, so I've also been in charge of the people and overseeing their accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And we do product and personal development and training with the offices as well when they're having issues.
Okay.
So does that make me like a project manager?
Well,
is that seasoned? Is that 13 years seasoned?
I think the real question to ask yourself is, what are you planning on in terms of your target market? What's, how far have you gone in that?
I did the positioning. And so basically, using that 13 years, I figured my best target market was retail industry or medical offices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So I think you can parlay that into the project management to either one of those, whichever one you choose, but it doesn't become like your main differentiator necessarily.
Okay.
So here's the way I would look at it, right? The what I have here in this top left quadrant, these are kind of, you know, some part of your brainstorm, right? In terms of topics or industries or target markets.
Yes, sir.
The next one is, you know, you want to look at your network, you know, where you have connections.
Okay.
And the quality. And then is the demand for content marketing, writing, and copy in each of these. Because you have to look at these individually, right? So you take retail first, you look at your network, you kind of get an assessment there, then you look at the demand. And then finally, you look at the topics and the people. Just as a last check, for many writers, that's really not a big deal. They don't care too much, but many people say, well, you know, gosh, everything checks out, but if I have to write about that ever again, I'm just going to like go insane, you know?
Right.
So it's something to take into account. So, I think either one of these could work really well because that retail piece is huge. You know, this, figuring out supply chain management, assortments, merchandising, promotions. And there's all this technology, for example, and all these services around that, all these companies that offer all kinds of stuff around that piece that you were involved with. So
okay.
Your value there, if you were to choose this, your top differentiator is you've been there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like you were there, feet on the street.
Right.
Same thing with medical billing. You were there, and so you know, like, you know the terminology, you know what the audiences that you're selling to are facing, you know, when you're dealing with clients.
Okay.
All that stuff. then the project management becomes, think of that as a, that's just kind of another differentiator. So
okay.
your biggest one is your experience there, your perspective that you can't teach someone overnight. And then, oh, and by the way, you know, I have 13 years of project management experience as well, which, you know, enable me. What that means to you is, you know, I always deliver on time every time. There's a bunch of things you could say about that, but it's
right.
not your core differentiator. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does make sense. It absolutely does. My okay and hesitation was because I was like, well, you're running into what I kind of ran into, which is, you're talking about the markets and then you're talking about network. Unfortunately, the retail is not where I have a lot of network left because
okay.
it was so long ago. The medical billing is something that I still do part time and I still have network contacts.
Okay.
But that's not a very large market for just chiropractic offices because they tend to be a small niche and they all tend to be small practices. So I was told that's not a good, niche to go for because it's too small. But I
well,
know that
keep in mind,
two doctors that would allow me to do website content and allow me to do marketing content for them.
So keep in mind that when it comes to a target market, let's just say medical billing, you don't have to take your experience literally. So every market has, think of, it's like a grid.
Okay.
Maybe draw it a little bit differently here. The billing area that you were focused in was, let's just say this, right? And this is medical billing for small offices, chiropractic?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, right now you're thinking, okay, well, that specific area, but keep in mind there's a much broader market around that. So there is, okay, what about billing for, you know, other hospitals?
Okay.
Billing for clinics, billing for radiology, billing for whatever, a tech. There's always a tech angle, you know, billing
okay.
software. You see what I'm
oh,
saying?
Yes,
so I call these adjacent
yeah.
markets because
okay.
they're all part of the broader, this is billing, and then you happen to have, you know, the small, medium-sized business, you know, like the chiropractors and so forth. So I wouldn't take it literally because what you have here translates into all of these.
Okay.
You know, I had, and I can, listen, this is not theory. I see this over and over again, and I experience it myself. My equivalent for what you had was a very small segment of the software market. And frankly, it was like, really small. It was small contractors. I sold software that helped them manage their documentation. Not very well strategic to them, but my average deal was like $15,000-$20,000. Okay, these are not million-dollar projects. I took what I had there, and because I could say I have software experience, I got opportunities here. And this would have been like manufacturing. In fact, that was one of my first ones. It was manufacturing, process manufacturers, software for them. And those are like million-dollar deals. But because I had this, I was able to get an opportunity here. You're just
okay.
looking for someone who's willing to work with you on what you do have and willing to give you a shot. Because
okay.
here's the way you got to remember, most writers aren't even going to have what you have in this area. So what you have
okay.
is very valuable.
Okay,
that
I have
sense?
To go back and reevaluate my positioning.
okay. And you know, it might be that you might choose it. That's why I want you to look at all the dimensions because let's just say that, you know, your network, you're looking at each of these individually, right? So for retail, and then there's medical billing. When you look at how it scores for network with retail, it might be like, medical billing, maybe it's that.
Yeah.
For the demand, I can just tell you it's going to be a check plus for both of them. And of
okay.
course, for topics and people, you're just going to have to, I wouldn't worry too much about that unless there's something it really is a red flag for you. you know, I think at first you need to be willing to just, you know, bite the bullet and whatever, just go.
Yeah, I'm willing to start anywhere. I can deal with it even if it's short term.
There you go. There you go. So I think I wouldn't, the fact that retail maybe from a network perspective is not as strong. It's a factor for sure, but if you feel that, you know what, I think this is hotter, and let's just say that the few that I do have are like really strong, then that kind of puts it on par with medical billing, which maybe you have a lot, but they're not maybe the right kinds or whatever.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, Christy, you're still kind of making, it's still an educated guess. You don't know. I mean, I've seen people do this analysis, and I think it's worth doing. And then they go down this path, and then when they start tapping their network, they get referred to some other opportunities that weren't even in here. And
right.
Next thing you know, they're like, oh, man, this is really cool. Like, I went ahead and said yes, because I, you know, this Ed's philosophy of say yes to everything. And I really like this stuff.
Okay.
And now you're in a totally different path, which, you know, it might be fine.
Okay.
Okay. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
I sense the anxiety, like, you're like, okay, I got to get back. I got to get back and figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I got to reevaluate everything. So, but I'll do that.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me know. You know, I'm in the Facebook group. So, let me know if you need any feedback once you do that.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Matt. So you're the 949 number. Okay. I was wondering who that was. Good to know. All right, guys, it's an open floor right now. So if you got a question again, let me bring this back up. Just type in capital Q in the chat area. Just give me an idea of what you have and I can bring you in. We can have a discussion. While I'm waiting, just kind of want to take a quick poll. We've had several discussions. Some of them we've gone pretty deep in, and I do that because not only do I want to help you, but I know these are things that others are facing. And many times what I've found is the biggest learning you can do is when you hear somebody else's question and the answer that might give you an idea that you hadn't gotten otherwise for yourself. So what's been most valuable so far? I'd love to know if you can type in capital V in the chat area and let me know something that's been valuable so far in our discussion today. Or, of course, if you have a question, then type in Q. Yeah, it's this whole issue of, you know, you want to take kind of a methodical approach to your positioning, but you also have to be flexible enough to go with the flow. I think talked about this in one of the lessons, but you know, I thought that I was going to do lead generation campaigns for B2B software companies. And when I started approaching them, they said, well, that's great, but what we really need help with is this brochure or this case study or this white paper. Can you help us with that? And I adopted a say yes to everything philosophy, which is, I mean, as long as it's not illegal and as long as they're paying me and I can do it in the time frame that they need it in, I'll say yes. Because when you're starting out, you really should adopt that mindset. Just say yes. You're buying lottery tickets, and you don't know which one is going to hit the jackpot. So, and that's what I did. And before I knew it, all I was doing was content, marketing content for these companies. I wasn't doing any of that lead gen stuff, which is what I thought companies were going to want me for, because that's what I had some experience in, what I really liked. But I found that I really liked the content. It was challenging. It was interesting. It was fun and it paid well. So I just stuck with it and just, you know, let the market kind of dictate where it was going to take me. Paul says, so far the warm email templates and headlines. Fantastic. Susan, the HubSpot CRM discussion has been helpful. Chrissy said the 4-step approach to a simple sample request. I took a lot of notes. Oh, excellent. Madalena, how to approach prospect with the 4 steps. Oh man, I just can't wait to hear how that goes, Madalena, and I think it's got a good shot. And listen, no matter what, just don't become emotionally attached to a specific outcome. I know that's hard. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, you know, you're moving on, and it's okay. And you never know. Like, they might come back. I've seen clients hire somebody they thought would be a better fit. 3 months later, they come back. Listen, I want to talk with you again. The person we hired just wasn't a fit. So, Jennifer says, most valuable being here. It's been a difficult week and my motivation has been waning. I knew I wanted to show up to help recharge. Thanks. Oh, awesome. Great to hear that. And yeah, there you go. So it's happened to you in translation before. So you're ready to give it a shot. Yeah, that's the cool thing. I mean, you've been down this road before, in terms of what it's like. It's, you know, you put so much emotional energy sometimes in one prospect thinking, this has got to happen. This has got to happen. And sometimes I think in a kind of a weird woo-woo metaphysical kind of way, when you become emotionally attached to that, gosh, it seems like most of the time it just doesn't happen. Some of the biggest wins that I've had in the past have been those that, you know, I thought, oh, that would be really cool, but I don't think I have a shot. I'm going to go for it anyway. And I don't know if it was maybe my approach because I didn't feel desperate, to the prospect, or maybe it was just, again, kind of metaphysically was just kind of detached from it. But I also wanted to give it a shot and a fair shot. And those are the ones that came through. It's just hard to explain. And later looking back, I go, wow, that's crazy. I almost didn't even go after that thinking I didn't have a chance. Madalena says, I'm down with a woo-woo. There you go. Put it out into the universe and see what happens. Every time I determine I have nothing to lose, it works out. There you go. Got nothing to lose. I just, you know, I have this philosophy that I don't want, on my deathbed, I don't want to look back and have regrets about things that I should have tried. Because I've seen people who are at a point in their lives where they have those regrets, personally and professionally, but I'm speaking here professionally, but things that they wish they would have gone after, things that they wish they would have tried. They play it safe and, you know, it worked out for them in many cases. But, you know, now that if they're at the end, they realize, you know what? Now I see that I had nothing to lose. What was I afraid of? All right. Matt has a question here. I'm positioning myself as an HR professional freelance writer and my samples are more article and blog related. My first client wants me to speak as an authority for her blog/website as an HR figure. This is great, but I want to know how I can find more clients beyond what I have established so far. All right. Let me bring you in, Matt. Hey, Matt, you're on. How
are you? Hey, Ed. I'm doing well, sir. You know, for me, I just to kind of just quick background, I don't want to waste too much of the phone call here, but I was in another course prior to showing up this one. So that's why I had my website up. I had my samples ready to rock and I wanted to kind of kickstart because of your program. And saying that, I've already found my first client through a freelance writing group. They reached out to me because they saw, you know, I just said to, I announced to the world, I'm going to be a HR professional freelance writer. So far what I've only done though is blogging and article, style. I'm trying to position now like more the business to business aspect. And that's kind of the part where I'm trying to find that angle, regarding like, you know, cause I know there's a lot of HRS, I'm thinking, and this is just me spitballing like HRIS companies or software companies in that realm, or maybe there's HR people. So, my background, you know, I've been doing HR for 10 years in various roles. I'm currently working full time as a, human resources benefits administrator for a very large tech company. So I'm just wondering your thoughts, perspective of how, cause I feel like with the step one process, like I've got a lot of that covered, but I just needed to kind of just fine tune it to start taking it to the next level here, I guess is what I'm getting at.
So where do you feel your challenge? I mean, specifically where, like what's troubling you?
Okay, so I've been looking at guest posts and a lot of them are like, hey, we want your sample up front. I'm like, well, I'm not sure where to begin on that. And the part where the prospect, maybe I need to move to the next module and or, you know, obviously I need my website reevaluated by the by you or some or one of the coaches and I need my LinkedIn evaluated. You know, my background prior is, you know, I've done staffing. I have over 3,000 people in my LinkedIn network. But a lot of that was when I was a tech recruiter. So I'm just trying to, you know, I think where I'm trying to establish myself is, okay, what should I be targeting in an HR field, I guess is, you know, cause HR is such an expansive career field and I'm trying to figure out how to target myself. Okay. I'm an HR professional freelance writer. Who am I going after now?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Gotcha. Okay. I first of all, I'll go to your earlier point. I think you need to take this step by step. So let's work on
right.
your, make sure that your positioning is solid, make sure that your website copy
okay.
is solid. And then I think the next step after that is, all right, so,
okay.
you know, when, from a prospecting standpoint, who do I go after? Now let's go back to
right.
positioning though. I would make sure that your positioning is relatively broad. So
okay.
here's what I mean. I think it's really kind of like an inverted pyramid. There is, B2B. Like, I write for any B2B company, okay? Now, a lot of writers
right.
don't necessarily say that, but that's what they're communicating. I'll write anything for anyone, okay?
Right.
Then the next step would be, my focus is the HR market. And then the next step after that, more granular, might be HR IT. And then this might be, like, something really specific. Like within HR IT, let's just say, I don't know,
right.
compliance software systems.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you have to be mindful of when you're started where you are right now. This is the
right.
danger zone. And I know you, that's
yes.
not a concern for you, but so
mm-hmm.
is this. Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you have some very specific knowledge and understanding of what's in here. And you already have some prospects lined up and you know exactly why you're doing this, you want to stay away from this. I would say this next one, proceed with caution. Your sweet spot is really this.
Yeah.
So these are like, the red ones are like the no-fly zone, you know?
Okay.
Now, what will happen is with time is you can narrow it down. I'm sorry, I keep getting this pop up and I don't see it until.
Yeah.
So you can narrow it with time. So I would say, look, start right here. Now you can offer some examples, you know, that might include IT and some other,
mm-hmm.
you know, areas like as part of your messaging, but keep it somewhat broad here. And then
okay.
once you start, getting some traction and some clients, you're going to know, like the answers will emerge. Like, you know what? I want to do more of, you know, like this area right here. So I'm going to just
right.
like get rid of this thing and just get more specific and notice it's one level down, but it's not necessarily IT. It's something else. Okay. So my advice, so I'm giving an indirect answer. My advice is just, you know,
no,
stick
I understand.
With, right. Stick with this, the HR and,
mm-hmm.
offer some examples if it helps. And then let's just see where the market takes you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like kind of an underlying feeling. I just needed some sort of validation for that. So, and it's still, you know, I feel like I'm in that fog and I can see the first 2 feet, but I can't see that mile ahead of me type of analogy right now. So that's kind of where my headspace is right now. And, so yeah, I appreciate, kind of tackling that. I'll probably put something for the Facebook to be more intricate. Cause like I said, I need my LinkedIn, my web copy kind of reviewed. So that will probably be the next step in this journey. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In terms of, you know, you mentioned something earlier about, it's blog posts and articles so far. That's fine. You can
yes.
use that to get, a little bit higher level work. You're just looking for someone
well,
to give you a shot, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And right now, I heard one of your other podcasts, you know, we're going for the ones and twos is how you kind of said it. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm not even thinking about five, sixes or sevens right now. I'm just trying to get my onesies right now. So,
yeah,
that's just kind of, that's basically where I'm at. So, okay. I'll post some more questions in the Facebook because I have a lot of foundation. I just need it fine tuned now.
Okay, cool. Cool. We'll get you there.
Awesome.
You got great momentum on your side. That's the good news. And, you know, this will happen. And that's a great market. I have a few coaching clients who focus in the HR market and they do very well.
I, you know, at the beginning I didn't want to do it, but then I was like, well, that's really a lot what I know. So I wanted to stick with what I knew before I make any type of pivots, you know, so that's
Absolutely.
Like, I felt that was a good foundation to start with anyways.
I think that's smart. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's you know, a lot of people don't want to start where they are right now. And for those of you who've gone through the positioning or maybe are going through it now, I see a lot of people focus so much on their passions, and they kind of want to go there. And I totally get it. You know, I say, look, use your, skills, experience, background, and these are all professional. And then also factor in your passions, and maybe, that really kind of narrows it down. But I see a lot of people who just, I got, you know, all this stuff, and I got all this stuff, and I got this background professionally. But man, I got these two passions that I would love to turn into a writing business. And I get it, you know, the problem is many times these are markets that are very, very difficult. They're typically, you know, kind of business to consumer, you know, gardening. They're usually like hobbyist type markets, and they're just very difficult. I'm not saying you can't do it. I always say, look for a different angle. Consider, starting with one of these. And then using, maybe starting a blog or creating an info product or starting a newsletter, here, you know, in this area. So it doesn't mean you have to give up on it. It just means that, you know, your freelance business, especially your freelance writing business doesn't need to meet all of your needs and criteria. I mean, certainly your previous jobs didn't in many cases, right? So don't feel that now, you know, you can kind of pile all that into your freelance writing or copywriting business. In a way, it's kind of unfair. So you're just going to have to be smart and strategic. And if you're not sure, and if you're at the stage right now, let me know. And I'll tell you. And I've seen some people who, look, even they were just determined. And for some reason, maybe they had the time, the energy. They didn't need the financial really benefits from it. They were just willing to tough it out. And, you know, even if it took a few years to really get something out of it financially, because that wasn't really their main concern. So I think, of course, you need to take that into account as well. But don't, I think, you know, like with Matt, he's got HR, it's not necessarily his favorite thing, but that's where he's got leverage. That's where he's got experience. Man, start there. And then you'll see, you'll figure out something you can do with maybe another area where you're a little bit more passionate. All right, we got an open floor right now. If anyone's got any questions or needs feedback on something, and for those of you who already asked, you know, we could do another round. So don't feel like you can't ask something else. I'm here for you. For me, talking about it, because I'm very much into wine, and I really wanted to. I totally get this. I really wanted to go the wine route, but. Not a very lucrative market in terms of writing. So I decided, you know what I did? I started a newsletter and I wrote a book on wine. And that was fun. It kind of satisfied that. And eventually I got kind of tired of it and I just kind of moved on. All right. Madalena has a question here. What are your thoughts on prospecting through the holidays? I just saw Jennifer Gregory's blog post this morning about this. So, Madalena, I don't know if you were here earlier in the call, but I was talking about that. I actually think it's a great idea. The week before Christmas, I mean, the week between Christmas and New Year's, I think has several benefits. I haven't read Jennifer's article, but I've had many coaching clients who've had great success there. And one that always sticks out is 2 years ago, a coaching client got triple the results during that week as compared to other weeks. My theory is that people are in a good mood. They're in a festive mood. They're more willing to respond positively, or there's a higher chance that they will. Number two, inboxes are less crowded. So if you're going to send warm emails, I think it's a great time to get their attention. They're kind of in the office just because they kind of need to be, or, you know, they're catching up on stuff. So they're more likely to see your note. In number three, this is a time of year where a lot of prospects are willing to say yes and then punt to January. So kind of like, I kind of need to look at the stuff and do something here, get some help in this area. Why don't we reengage in January? It's kind of like you know, we love putting stuff off, don't we? It's like, I'll say yes because I know I need to do it, but if I don't have to deal with it for another few weeks, that's awesome. That just feels like I accomplished something because I made a decision or I started or I kickstarted a process, but I don't have to do any work for a few weeks. So they're deferring the work. The cool thing about that, Madalena, is when they give you that kind of response, I love it because now I have something tangible that I can use to follow up with. So when I reach out in January, I can use the same email thread to try to kickstart the conversation again. That's just get it going. So I think it's a wonderful time. Of course, if you were planning on taking time off and going out of town, don't necessarily recommend you do it. But if you're going to be around, I think it's a great time to test it. And I would do, I'm looking here at the calendar. Honestly, I would probably try the 20th and the 21st, and then I would kick it back up 26th, 27th, 28th. Any of those days or all of those days, depending on what you've got. Oh, she also suggests during the holidays. Okay, yeah. It's counterintuitive, but I'm telling you, it can work. And what I'd like is if anyone tries it, if you could keep some records, I'd love to know how it worked for you. That's how I found out about the triple response and the triple results, because she was going to try it. We kind of worked up a little plan, and she kept records. She's like, man, I couldn't believe it, three times. So would love to know how it works for you guys if you try it. Paul asked, the local business journal publishes lists every day of the hottest robotics companies or top medical device companies, et cetera. Are those good targets or oversaturated because they are hot? Are the boring companies not getting any notice better? And if so, I'm open to ideas about how to find them. Yeah, Paul, good question. Let me bring you in. Hey, Paul, I think it's absolutely fine to target them. And the reason is, in many cases, those are companies that that didn't just happen. They actually pursued that. You know what I'm saying? So they're investing money in marketing and PR to get that kind of coverage.
Okay. Well, I'm in the Boston area, and a lot of the companies are just experiencing some crazy growth right now, mm-hmm. especially like robotics. Boston's a center for that, and medical devices as well, pharmaceutical.
Yeah. So it's a correlation between, you know, if you're spending money on marketing and PR to get that kind of exposure, there's, everything else being equal, there's a higher probability that, you know, you got budgets for writing and content marketing, and which means that you're probably going to need help with some of your writing projects. So I think it would definitely, companies that I would go after. Now, of course, you know that others will too, but don't assume that all these writers are going to hit them up. In many cases, it's agencies and other companies or the businesses that are going to be targeting them. I would not let that deter me, though. I would still go after them. But it doesn't mean that that should be my only target, the ones who are getting that kind of exposure. I would still go after others as well.
Okay. Let me ask a little different way. One of the hot companies around here is Wayfair. They are mm-hmm. actually headquartered in Boston. And although they do business to consumer, essentially, because they're online retail, is there a B2B aspect to them as well that you have experience with in something like that?
I don't think there would be. What did you have in mind? I mean, what got you thinking that maybe there's a B2B angle to it?
Well, they all have IT. They're all heavily invested in IT. But that's not necessarily B2B, and that's not my area of expertise. It's more just a question of curiosity if there might be some aspect I could pursue with them, because they are big. They're growing like crazy. They're one of the biggest hiring companies in the area, and they're expected to hire something like another 1,600 people just this coming year. So huge potential if you can find something to write for them about.
Yeah, the thing is that when you think about what you would provide for them, so they're here, right, and then they sell to consumers, So what to do that, right, this process involves some writing. But that's going to be, you know, B2C. So we're talking catalog, copy, product descriptions, maybe some articles, et cetera, right?
Right.
There are companies that IT vendors that sell to them. And here they need writing. But it's these companies that need the writing, and that's B2B because it's one company to another one, and it's we're talking white papers, case studies, brochures, e-books, etc. But who is the one initiating that? Who's the one funding that? It's the vendors, right?
Right.
Not Wayfair. They're from a writing perspective, this is what they're producing. Their vendors are the ones producing this. So yeah, I don't think it would necessarily be a target unless you want to do, you know, this kind of stuff. Now, you can. My concern is that, you know, the B2C when it comes to this kind of stuff, not the best paying work.
Okay. I've always targeted B2B anyway.
Yeah.
Just because I find consumers annoying. They're fickle on their purchasing decisions. So I haven't wanted to deal with them.
Yeah. And I know where you're coming from in terms of, well, you know, but they're here. Sometimes there's this tendency to, well, but, you know, if it's a company that's kind of in next door, you know, maybe I should target them because they're next door. But what you're saying is, well, the reason they would want to talk with me is that I'm in the same town. So let's translate that to, because we're in the same town, that would be valuable to them. And from their perspective, that's not really a valuable thing. Now, if you were a catalog copywriter, then you could maybe use the fact that you're local as one of your advantages, but even that's not going to do it because they don't mind working with somebody in San Francisco. It's really not about location as much as it is, you know, your expertise here.
Okay.
So I would stick with what you know, your target market. Don't worry about the fact that they're local or not. And I would say, in warm emails, don't leverage location as the meaningful connection, meaning as the reason for reaching out, what caused you to reach out to them.
Right. And I haven't pursued that angle. The only reason I've stayed in a particular time zone is simply because it makes it easier as far as working hours and interaction if you have meetings or that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, you know, in some cases some clients feel like, you know, it'd be nice if they were local. So if we have a meeting where we really need them, you know, that kind of thing. But I've had clients in Atlanta. I'm in the Atlanta area that I didn't meet for a long time. In fact, there was one, I didn't meet her for 2 years. And Atlanta's like Boston, though. The traffic is just horrendous. So clients know, hey, if you're driving over here, that's just going to be a nightmare.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Any other questions? I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. I haven't seen any new questions posted. If you do have one, just type in capital Q. In front of it in the chat area so I see it. All right, so here's what I'd like to do. I want to make sure with these calls that they're not just, you know, the kind of thing where you kind of sit back and listen or maybe take some notes, which is great. That's better than just sitting back and listening. I want to make sure that you walk away with at least one actionable item. And if you could do me a favor, just go to the chat area as we wrap up and just type in capital A and let me know what is your top action item for the next couple of weeks. Or let's just say before the holidays. Now until you kind of knock off for the holidays, if you're going to take time off, what is your top action item? If you have several, just pick one that you feel is important. Just type in capital A in front of it. Let me know in the chat area. Curious to know what you're walking away with here that's tangible and that's going to keep you moving forward. Paul says, marketing is always tops for me. Excellent. Follow up with solid leads and continue prospecting until the 21st, says Madalena. Great. Jennifer says, prospecting, minimum of 20 minutes a day. Perfect. Yeah, by the way, and I love that. I love that you've set some kind of time requirement or number of emails. So, yeah, Paul, by the way, it's something just to keep in mind is if you're not already doing it, make sure to set yourself a goal in terms of effort, whether it's time or whether it's output. That way it becomes really tangible. And then at the end of the week, you know, if you really did, you know, what you set out to do. Matt says, complete steps 1 and 2 in the program. Have my website and LinkedIn profile evaluated. Fantastic. Christy, keep the positioning revision going while I work on the web copy starter. Excellent. All right. Who else? Let's see. Oh, perfect, Paul. Yeah, unwritten schedule. That's key. Susan, prospecting, 50-20-50 focus Monday through Friday, but also entering prospecting into HubSpot so that I'm not doing it twice. Ah, there you go. Okay. Yeah. Nothing worse than entering that stuff in there twice. All right, who haven't I not heard from? Mike, haven't heard from Mike, Joanne, Francis, anyone else? All right, I think that's it, guys. So, hey, great discussion today. Good stuff. Appreciate everyone participating. Love the questions. So what do we got going on here? We got I'm just double checking this. We have our another call next Thursday, this time, same time, same day, same bat channel. Okay. Susan will be here. Susan, my associate coach, will be here. And, so make sure to work through what you know you got to work through. Come in with some questions. Let us know what we can help you. And of course, as things come up between calls, we're in the Facebook forum, Facebook group every business day. So, don't feel bad about asking. Let us know where we can help you. We can do a lot there in terms of giving you feedback, answering questions, and helping you through, you know, whatever you might be facing. But make sure we'll send reminders. Make sure you have it in your calendar next Thursday. We're doing 2 back-to-back just the way the holidays kind of worked out in this year. We're going to do calls back-to-back where they're always twice a month, but this time it's going to be twice so we can get the second one in before the holidays. All right, guys. Great. Enjoyed our discussions today. Have a wonderful rest of the day, wonderful weekend coming up, and we'll keep the conversation going in the Facebook group. You take care.